Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bridget Bergen, filling in for Brian today. Now we'll look at a new doctrine released by the Vatican that explores the concept of human dignity. Earlier this week, the Vatican published a 25-page document called Infinite Dignity, asserting the principle that every human person possesses an infinite dignity, inalienably grounded in his or her very being, which prevails in and beyond every circumstance, state, or situation the person may ever encounter. That's, of course, a quote from the document. However, progressives within the Catholic Church argue that the document contradicts this principle when it concerns the transgender community. Among the list of threats to human dignity, the Church lumps sex change in with poverty, war, and the struggles of migrants. Now, one of these things doesn't seem quite like the others. We'll look at the Church's Infinite Dignity document, as well as its positions on gender theory, surrogacy, and other issues it deems great threats to humanity. Joining us now is Francis DiBernardo, Executive Director of New Ways Ministry. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And Francis, I hope you can help guide us through this document a little bit, both your views on it and hopefully to some extent what you think the Church is trying to convey in it. And so my first question is, what is human dignity and what significance does it hold for the Catholic Church?
That's a good question. The Catholic Church has developed what it calls its social teaching from the 19th century on to the current day. And at the base of that, of the Catholic social teaching, is that every human being has human dignity. Every human being is created in the image and likeness of God. So no matter what happens to a person in life, no matter if they're rich or poor, if they have committed crimes, if they are sick or disabled, no matter what condition someone is in, they have human dignity, and that dignity must be respected and honored. And the Church has taught that for over a century and is now applying it to new situations. And this document had a beautiful explanation of the Church's teaching on human dignity. Unfortunately, they did not apply those same teachings when it came to transgender and non-binary people.
And Francis, I know that you reviewed this document and wrote a response on the website of your organization, New Ways Ministry, which does work building bridges between the LGBTQ community and the Catholic Church since 1977. So this work you've been doing for a very long time.
Yes.
Can you outline some of the issues the Church sees as threats to human dignity, as expressed in this document?
Yes, they listed about seven or eight of them, and one is war, one is poverty, one is the migration problem. An unusual one that they added that has never been mentioned in Catholic discussions before is what they call digital violations, sort of cyberbullying and problems with how social media affects human dignity. I thought that was great, great development. But then they added the two dealing with transgender or non-binary people, something called gender theory, which they never really define, but which I think we can safely assume means that they don't like new understandings and new realities about gender. And then also something that they call sex change, which even using that term shows their lack of information sure. about transgender people, where most would call it gender transition.
Listeners, I'd like to open the phones to members of the LGBTQ community who are Catholic. What are your reactions to the Vatican's Infinite Dignity document? How do you maintain your faith when the institutional church maybe invalidates aspects of your identity? Does that test your faith? And what do you fear when you hear the church describing sex change as a threat to human dignity? You can give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. You can also text at that number. We'd also like to hear from Catholics who have family members who are trans or non-binary. How are you feeling about the church's position here? And again, the number is 212-433-9692. You can call or text us there, or you can tweet at Brian Lehr. I want to talk a little bit about what the church's argument is against, as you were describing, gender theory, gender-affirming care. How does it square this seemingly contradictory stance of talking about dignity, but then not applying it completely to this particular group of Catholics?
That's a very good question. The document outlines that there's a problem with transgender and non-binary people in that they do not honor what the dignity of how they were created. So the church looks at gender from what is called a physicalist approach. It looks at someone's gender identity being determined by the external characteristics of their body, meaning their genitals, which are the only identifiable gender marker that a doctor has at birth. It's a boy, it's a girl. And what new science has been showing, and really new meaning in the last 50 years, so not very new, is that gender biologically includes other markers, such as hormonal influences, genetic influences, psychological influences. So determining gender only by a physicalist approach, what is someone's body, external body markers, is really not sufficient. And that's what the church, that's what this Vatican document is saying, is that any kind of other understanding or attempt to change one's body to line up with their gender identity is a violation of human dignity. They would say it's a violation of the way that God has created the human being.
I want to go to a caller. Let's talk to Gina in Manhattan. Gina, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I am the mother of a transgender son. Both my husband and I were raised Catholic in a Catholicism that told us that God is love, that God loves you no matter what. This seems like the kind of argument that was used against the homosexual community at one point. And it's very, I'm befuddled how transgender or gender theory can be lumped into the same category as war and famine when less than 1% of the world population identifies as gender fluid or non-binary or transgender. And so this to me just feels like an attack rather than anything that actually has to do with human dignity. Because if every human matters, then I don't understand how this is part of Jesus's teaching. Thank you so much.
Gina, thanks for that call. You wrote a piece for New Ways Ministry on your blog critiquing this document. Can you talk a little bit about that and respond to Gina's call?
Sure. I think Gina makes an excellent point, and That is really the problem of this document, is that it does not apply its teachings on human dignity to one small sector of humanity, the transgender, non-binary, gender fluid community. And if human dignity is as absolute as the document makes itself out to be, then it should be applied to every human being, no exceptions. What's difficult to accept in this document is that all of the other issues that it says are violations of human dignity are social issues. And this one is a personal issue. This one has to do with an individual's self-understanding. And it is, you know, it eventually becomes a social issue if there are political realities involved about the legality of gender identity, of someone's gender identity. But primarily it's a personal issue. It should not have been included in this document.
Let's take another caller. Let's go to Gary in Hoboken, New Jersey. Gary, thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for hosting this important discussion. And shout out to Francis DiModarno, who is a hero in our community. So I think my point of this is that this document is once again very confusing very confusing communication on the church's, you know, stance on LGBTQ people. I mean, back in September, the Pope hosted a group of poor, which included trans women, who he specifically called daughters of God. Not children of God, but daughters of God. Then in November, he sent out a directive that it was okay for trans people to be baptized, and even under determined by pastoral direction, could be godparents of children. Then in December was the approves the blessing for same-sex couples. Now Francis is calling gender theory the world's worst danger. Really? Worse than famine, poverty, or ignorance? You know, let's have a conversation with the people of Gaza right now on that. So I think this document, and versus even the Pope's confusing opinions and direction, teachings on LGBTQ people, indicates that the Vatican, the hierarchy, not the religious men and women with boots on the ground who reach out every day to LGBTQ people and groups like New Ways Ministry, but it indicates the hierarchy is having a real problem with this. They can't even name LGBTQ people. I was a member of our parish's synod committee. I'm a gay man, and also read individual archdiocese working documents that were sent to the Continental Group. Every single one of them mentioned LGBTQ people and their problems in the church. However, when it went to the Continental Congress, our Continental American Congress, for a final document that went to the Vatican, completely LGBTQ people, then the word, the name, the term, completely edited out.
Gary, I want to jump in just for a second to give Francis a chance to respond, because you raised some really important points there in both the way the church talks about the community and, you know, raising a question that, you know, I'd love for you to respond to, Francis, which is, you know, how much of this is political? Is this a move to appease more conservative Catholics, or is it somehow rooted in their interpretation of Scripture?
Good question, and thanks for Gary's comments. I think he makes a good point in distinguishing between the hierarchy's view on transgender people and Catholic lay people's view on the gender diverse community. Because poll after poll in recent years has shown, at least in America and polls in other countries, that Catholic lay people are ready to welcome and affirm the gender diverse community, that they that Catholic lay people have come to know and meet people whose gender journey may be different than most, but is a journey of integrity, a journey of spirituality, and they welcome them and they respect them and they affirm them. I think that the hierarchy has not done its research, particularly in that I think this document, as a case in point, shows no evidence that they have interviewed transgender people to come up with their take on gender identity. And for a case in point is just their use of the term sex change. Nobody in the transgender community uses that term anymore. No reputable health professional uses that term. And if they had interviewed any transgender people for this, they would have been told not to use that term. So, but I do want to stress that you know, the Catholics in the pews, particularly here in the U.S., are very welcoming. The problem is that the hierarchy has the microphone.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about that. I mean, as some people listening to this conversation who are not Catholic might wonder, and as a listener texted us, as a non-Catholic, what I can't understand is why Catholics who don't buy church doctrine stick around rather than finding solace in another Christian community. What's your response to that? You know, is there a place for transgender people in the Catholic Church, given what the institutional church is saying about them?
Right. Yes, there is. There is definitely a place in the church for transgender and non-binary people and for the people who support them. That place may be challenging to find because not all parishes are going to be equally as welcoming. But for instance, New Ways Ministry maintains a list of close to 300 parishes in the U.S. about who have welcomed LGBTQ people. In Davenport, Iowa, the bishop there established a gender policy that said we aren't going to have a gender policy. We're going to have a policy where we take everybody's case one by one. We're going to listen to people to hear what they have to say before we make any judgments. So yes, there is a place in the Catholic Church, and I think it's you know, you asked how do people stay within the community. I think that, you know, in some ways, being Catholic is almost as strong an identity as someone's gender identity or as someone's sexual orientation. And despite what the institution or the institution's leaders may have to say, people are strongly committed to the Catholic Church. Not as an institution of rules and laws, but as an institution that has rituals and experiences that help people to become closer to God and to become closer to other people. And they appreciate.
I think we're having a little trouble with Francis's line. We're going to see if we can get him back in a minute. In the meantime, I want to go to David in Westfield, New Jersey. David, thanks for calling WNYC. I think I'm hoping we can get Francis back on because I think he may be able to speak to the issues that are of concern to you.
Hi. Yeah, thank you for taking the call. And I certainly hope he does come back. It's been a pleasure listening to what he's had to say so far. I'm the father of a trans, my oldest is trans, and you know, I was raised Catholic. I find it deeply distressing that the church is, you know, has put that put their status on the same level as a lot of the terrible things that they claim go against human dignity. I feel like this is a great loss. And I was, you know, I find this very much in keeping with what they did back in the days of Galileo when they, it didn't, you know, when his truth didn't match with the known universe, and they, you know, they basically tortured the poor guy into repenting, or recanting his position. I'm hopeful that the speaker, if he returns, can, you know, give a little more guidance to those of us that are, you know, very worried about, you know, where this is coming from. It doesn't feel to me like it's coming from Francis. It feels like it's almost the beginning of pushing him out.
David, thank you. I want to let you know that Francis is back. I'm glad to hear you, Francis,
yes.
Because I thought I saw David on our board here, and I think he is the type of listener who could benefit from some of the resources you might have available and perspective you have on, you know, how to keep the faith, so to speak, in the context of what the institutional church is currently doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I caught the last part of his question, and I think one thing that's important to say, I was saying before that they did an interview transgender people. There's also no evidence that from this document that they took into account modern science, you know, very much like the Galileo situation, where they did not accept new scientific discoveries. And that's a shame, because they said that this document was 5 years in the making. They could have done something. But we do have resources on our website. We have a whole page on transgender issues that links to reputable scientific and social scientific sources. We have a page called Journeys, which is a scriptural reflections by transgender people and lesbian, gay, bisexual people, and questions for people to do their own reflection. So these things, I think, might be of help to
the
Catholics, Catholics who want to learn more.
Well, Francis, I'm so grateful you could join us. We're going to leave it there for today. My guest has been Francis DiBernardo, Executive Director of New Ways Ministry. And for any listener who is looking for resources, whether it's parishes, whether it's information, scientific information about transgender care in a context within the Catholic Church, we'll have a link to New Ways Ministry available on the segment page, so you can check that out there. Francis, thank you so much for joining me.
Okay, thank you very much, and thanks to your listeners as well.